युगधर्म हरि नाम संकीर्तन की ग्रंथ
राज
श्रीमद् भागवतम की जगत गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत
सेवया
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26, titled King Puranjana Goes to the Forest to Hunt. Text 26, this is the last verse of this chapter. तन्मे प्रसीद सुहृद कृतकिल्बिषस्य स्वैरं गतस्य मृगयां व्यसनातुरस्य का देवरं वशगतं कुसुमास्त्रवेग विस्रस्तपौंसम् उशति न भजेत कृत्ये। तन्मे प्रसीद सुहृद कृतकिल्बिषस्य स्वैरं गतस्य मृगयां व्यसनातुरस्य का देवरं वशगतं कुसुमास्त्रवेग विस्रस्तपौंस्नम् उशति न भजेत कृत्ये। तन्मे प्रसीद सुहृद कृतकिल्बिषस्य स्वैरं गतस्य मृगयां व्यसनातुरस्य का देवरं वशगतं कुसुमास्त्रवेग विस्रस्तपौंस्नम् उशति न भजेत कृत्ये। तन्मे प्रसीद सुहृद कृतकिल्बिषस्य स्वैरं गतस्य मृगयां व्यसनातुरस्य व्यसनातुरस्य देवरं वशगतं कुसुमास्त्रवेग विस्रस्तपौंस्नम् उशति न भजेत कृत्ये। तन्मे प्रसीद सुहृद कृतकिल्बिषस्य वैरं गतस्य मृगयां व्यसनातुरस्य कादेवरं वशगतं कुसुमस्त्रवेग word to word meaning tat therefore may on to me proceed be kind suhrudah intimate friend krita kilbishasya having committed sinful activities swairam independently gatasya who went mrigayam hunting Vesana Aturasya, being influenced by sinful desire. Ka, what woman? Devaram, the husband. Vashagatam, under her control. Kusuma Astra Vega, pierced by the arrow of Cupid. Visrasta, scattered. Paunsnam, his patience. Ushati, very beautiful. No, never. Bhajeta, would embrace. Kritye, in proper duty. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear Queen, due to my sinful desires, I went to the forest to hunt without asking you. Therefore, I must admit that I have offended you. Nonetheless, thinking of me as your most intimate subordinate, you should still be very much pleased with me. Factually, I am very much bereaved, but being pierced by the arrow of Cupid, I am feeling lusty. But where is the beautiful woman who would give up her lusty husband and refuse to unite with him? Purport. Both man and woman desire one another. That is the basic principle of material existence. Women in general always keep themselves beautiful so that they can be attractive to their lusty husbands. When a lusty husband comes before his wife, the wife takes advantage of his aggressive activities and enjoys life. Generally, when a woman is attacked by a man, whether her husband or some other man, she enjoys the attack being too lusty. In other words, when one's intelligence is properly utilized, both the intellect and the intelligent person enjoy one another with great satisfaction. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yan Maithunadi Grihameda Sukham Hitucham Kanduya Nena Karayor Iva Dukkha Dukkham. The actual happiness of the Karmis is sex life. They work very hard outside the home, and to satiate their hard labor, they come home to enjoy sex life. King Puranjan went to the forest to hunt, and after his hard labor he returned home to enjoy sex life. If a man lives outside the home and spends a week in a city or somewhere else, at the end of the week he becomes very anxious to return home and enjoy sex with his wife. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yan Maithunadi Grihamedi Sukham Hitucham. Karmis work very hard simply to enjoy sex. Modern human society has improved the materialistic way of life simply by inducing unrestricted sex life in many different ways. This is most prominently visible in the Western world. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 4th canto, 26th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Puranjan Goes to the Forest to Hunt and His Queen Becomes Angry. We'll switch off this. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरोन्वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिन्निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरि यत्कृपातं वंदे श्री गुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंद माधवं श्री चैतन्य ईश्वरं। Hare Krishna. So King Puranjan is at home and he has flattered his wife enough and now he is putting forward his desire, his lusty desires. Now the purport is something which I am not eligible to speak. It speaks about sex life, and a person who has conquered sex desire can actually speak on such topics. We'll just touch upon some points here and there. So now, when it comes to sin, I was just meditating on this point where is that? He says that I've committed sin. So, kilbishasya, that's what is the meaning, having committed sinful activities. And in the translation, Prabhupada writes, "My dear queen, due to my sinful desires, I went to the forest to hunt without asking you." Now, let's understand about this sin. This is what, at my level, I can speak. So, when it comes to sin, that is something which is against the Shastra, against the Vedic scriptures, against Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So, anything that we do for our own sense gratification, that is called sin. And this particular statement is very, very difficult to digest. Devotees, somehow they keep hearing, so they digest it after some time. But when it comes to materialists, it's very difficult. That to do sense gratification is a sin. Means we have senses and we are not supposed to do sense gratification. That's what it means. So to commit sin is something which is very, very natural for a living entity. I mean, human beings. Animals are, they are bichara. They are just there doing their mechanical work according to their karma. But then when it comes to human beings, this sin or to commit sin is very, very natural. I was just meditating. It is said that devotional service is natural. But then we struggle so much to do devotional service. To wake up early in the morning, there's a struggle. You know, to be in the Mangal Aarti, that's another struggle. And as soon as we sit down to chant Narasimha Pranam or whatever, shikshas to come and offenses to the holy name, 10 offenses to the holy name. It's so unnatural that, you know, automatically, you know, we get sleep, or you know, we are not very enthusiastic, lethargic. And also when it comes to chanting, again, the same thing. You know, somehow, we go down and then come up and again start chanting. Hope you understand what I said. So, when it comes to Bhagavatam class and others, sometimes, you know, it's really difficult. We have not slept at night properly, and then you have to sit in Bhagavatam class and hear the speaker, what the speaker is saying. You know, and that is also difficult. You know, sometimes it feels like sleeping, but then we cannot, because we have to respect Bhagavatam. So in this way, we see any anga of bhakti, if we take, you know, it is said it is natural. But then, if you analyze the sadhaka, it's not natural for the sadhaka. No, it's very much artificial. But then, if you properly analyze this point of what is natural and what is artificial, we see that when it comes to committing sin, you know, it has become very, very natural. And to do devotional service, it has become very artificial. Why? Because from many, many lifetimes we are there in this material world, and in Prabhupada's language, when a living entity comes in contact with the matter, you know, he gets contaminated. So these contaminated desires, you know, make the person commit sin. And we know the cycle of papa, and then comes bija, then kuta, and then again, you know, the person is impelled to do papa. So this bija which is there, bija is first or kuta is first? Bija. Okay, anyways, so I'll tell in English instead of Sanskrit. So the person has committed sin, and then the tendency to sin or the desire to sin is there in the heart. And then finally, you know, the person, that desire, you know, manifests in a very intense way, and then finally commits sin. Now this desire to sin which is there, or the impression to sin, tendency to sin which is there, now we can imagine from many, many lifetimes it is getting accumulated for all the living entities, and especially, you know, human beings, because they manifest their activities, the sinful activities. So from many, many lifetimes, you know, these sinful activities the living entity has been doing, and, you know, the impressions have been stored from many, many lifetimes. So now it's very normal and very, very natural, you know, for a living entity to commit sin. Be it anything for that matter, you know, getting attracted to the opposite sex, you know, who is not his wife or husband, or eating meat, or you know, alcohol, and, you know, gambling, and watching nonsense, whatever. So all that is very, very natural, and the person feels very, very enthusiastic also to do these. But when it comes to devotional service, since from many lifetimes we have been away from Krishna, we have been bahirmukh from Krishna, now what has happened? The actual natural thing which is supposed to be there, that is devotional service, because that is our constitutional position. Jivare Swarupoi Krishnera Nitya Das. We are Nitya Das of Krishna, and our job description is to serve Krishna. And that too, what sort of service this is? Loving devotional service, enthusiastic loving devotional service. This is what is our job description. But then, now, because we are away from Krishna for many, many lifetimes, and we have been struggling, you know, in this material world doing sense gratification, now devotional service has become artificial, and committing sin has become very, very natural. Very, very natural. And this we can analyze, you know, in all of us, you know, as sadhakas, obviously the ones who are perfected beings, they have already realized what they are in the spiritual world, and accordingly they manifest, or accordingly they do their services. But when it comes to sadhakas, you know, this is what is the scenario. To commit sin is very, very natural. And here, Prabhupada makes a statement saying, modern human society has improved the materialistic way of life simply by inducing unrestricted sex life in many different ways. This is most prominently visible in the Western world. So when I was reading this statement, I remembered our Omkar Prabhu. So when he went to his university to do PhD, I think it was what they call it as introductory session, whatever was there. So there they were given a list of things to follow while having illicit sex. There's an education that was given to them, and there was a quiz also to attempt after that. This is where, you know, the world has gone, the Western world has gone, where it is okay to have illicit sex. What is the problem? Natural, what is the problem? In fact, one youth boy had asked me this question. You people keep telling illicit sex. The boy is ready, the girl is ready, what is your problem in between? This is how natural it is. People talking about it is so natural. So natural. Once I was giving a session to the college boys, I think it was CMRIT, 3-4 boys were there, and I was speaking about how, you know, watching nonsense on YouTube is not correct. I was talking about obviously this illicit sex and other things. And the boy was like, no Prabhuji, what is wrong in that? It is good only. No, it's information. I was dumb. What can I say after this? I said, okay, Hare Krishna, you can leave. So again and again, this point is proved that to commit sin, you know, for a human being is very, very natural. And to hold ourselves from committing sin, you know, that becomes a struggle. And a sadhaka goes through this struggle of not committing sin on all the three levels, kaya, vacha, and manasa. So sadhaka will go through this struggle, and he has to go through this struggle. It's not easy. Many lifetimes something we have done, and suddenly, you know, we are saying, no, 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 I'll not do this. Now there are various other sins, you know, that the various types of sins, you know, that one will commit. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in 3rd chapter, 13th shloka, Yajna shishta sina santo muchyante sarvakil vishay bhungte te tvagam papam yapachantyatma karanat. So here Krishna is saying that those people who don't, though my devotees, they offer food to me and they have it, so they are free from sins. But the others, they verily eat only sin. This is what Krishna says. So basically, the thing is, we have to offer whatever we have to Krishna, and then we can accept it as prasad. Then we are free, you know, from sins, or we are free from sinful reactions or karmic reactions which are there. Now, it's not just about food. That's what we speak about a lot, you know, because that is very, very important. But every activity that we do, everything that we have, that has to be offered in service of Krishna. Everything. One thing which I was meditating on was speech. The speech that is awarded by the Lord to us, because I lost speech for some time, so I was meditating on that. So this speech that is given, you know, is a very, very important aspect in a devotee's life, because without that, nor he can chant the holy names, nor he can glorify the Lord, nothing he can do. Now this shloka, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam, there Prabhupada writes very, very heavy purport for Vacho Vegam. There he says that one shouldn't speak anything apart from Krishna consciousness. Now on this verse, I have given class in MVJ base, then Simantadvip base, and even to the, you know, Belandur congregation, some of them. So every place this one question was asked, that how is it possible, we go to college, we go to office, you know, relatives come, so how is it possible not to speak anything apart from Krishna consciousness? And that's actually a very valid point. It's very difficult. You go to college and what will you tell? People are asking something, you have to speak something. And when you're in the office, you have to speak something. Then I was meditating that this privilege, what Prabhupada is mentioning here, is only for full-time devotees. This privilege only full-time devotees or renunciants have, wherein they can choose what they want to speak. No one can force them. But when it comes to devotees in general, it becomes very difficult, because they have to live in a society where so many materialists are there. They have to talk to them. They have to get some work done. So they have to engage themselves. And that is okay also. That is because that's an exceptional. They are doing it for their livelihood. But when it comes to us as renunciants, when it comes to brahmacharis or all the ones who are full-time devotees, this is a very important point, that we have to choose what we speak, right? We can choose, and that's the great privilege that Krishna has given. And when we use this speech in talking anything and everything, that is prajalpa, then that's sin. And what else that is? That is sin. This I heard for the first time from Guru Maharaj, and I got goosebumps in my body. He said, this speech is given for glorifying the Lord, for chanting the holy names, and that was a grastha class. I mean, grastha sitting and, Maharaj is speaking this, Guru Maharaj is speaking this. Speech is given for glorifying the Lord and chanting the holy names, and the ones who don't do that and speak anything and everything, they are committing sin. And this is the point. This is the point that is there. So this is a very important thing for us to meditate on, that very few people get this privilege just to speak about Krishna, think about Krishna and glorify Krishna. Very, very few people in this material world, and we are one of them. So this privilege that is given to us, can be utilized very nicely if the devotee decides for himself, or else it's not possible. If a devotee decides, if he doesn't decide that I'll speak only about Krishna, then anything and everything will come to the mouth, and the devotee will start speaking that, and this opportunity will be lost, because every day is so important, every moment is so important, it cannot be wasted. And especially when it comes to us, every single moment has to be utilized in service of Krishna. So we call, I was thinking about myself, I call myself as full-time devotee. So full-time, 24/7, am I engaging myself in service of Krishna? Full-time, yes. Because sometimes devotees say that, grastha devotees, very, very humble. Prabhuji, you all are full-time devotees, Prabhuji. We are part-time devotees. And some devotees, extremely humble, they will say, we are weekend devotees. Yes. But then, and I was just meditating on this point that, okay, they're glorifying so much, but then am I really utilizing 24/7 all the moments in service of Krishna? That is what is a meditation, you know, that is very, very important, you know, for devotees in general. That am I utilizing everything that is there in service of Krishna and every single moment in service of Krishna, thinking about Krishna, glorifying Krishna. So this self-introspection, you know, is very, very important for the aspiring sadhus. Today, I was hearing this definition of sadhu. Prabhupada was saying, he was talking on this Bhagavatam class, but in that he quoted Paritranaya Sadhunam. And he started explaining who is a sadhu. And he said, sadhu is the one who is beyond the three modes of material nature. And I was like, I was thinking, I am sadhu. He said, beyond the three modes of material nature. And then he made a very interesting point. You know, he said that Paritranaya Sadhunam, so if they are already delivered, they are already beyond three modes of material nature, then what is Krishna doing? What is Krishna delivering them? Or in what way Krishna is delivering them? This was the question that Prabhupada was asking in that session, in the class. And then he only answered. He said that these devotees are eager to see Krishna eye to eye, you know, Prabhupada says. And only for them Krishna comes and he delivers them from their misery or the suffering of that of separation. So there he talked about Paritranaya Sadhunam and he gave this purport to that. Yes. So then I thought, yes, aspiring sadhus, theek hai. So self-introspection is very, very important for an aspiring sadhu, because without self-introspection, a devotee cannot progress at all. Because I was just again thinking about myself. When it comes to being a brahmachari, being a full-time devotee, all our external activities are so nice. And all the time, you know, we are there in dhoti, kurta, tilak, kanthi, and we are always doing devotional service. I mean, externally chanting, reading, hearing, and anytime we, anyone sees us, you know, we'll be doing some devotional activity by default because we don't have any option. But then I was just thinking, but what about inside? What about inside? What is happening inside? So this self-introspection will actually help the devotee to understand what is happening inside. Or what is that devotee inside? What personality he has within? So this self-introspection is so important, because finally what is needed, or finally the goal of life, I mean why we have come here to this material world, is transformation of heart. Externally, we have changed many things, but internally, is the transformation of heart happening or not? This is something which is very, very important, you know, a part of self-introspection. So when this self-introspection goes on more and more and more, so then the devotee will start understanding, lots of anarthas are there. Bhar bhar ke. And then any glorification comes, then theek hai, chalo. They are telling, seeing my external things, but internally I know what I am. So in this way, you know, at least you know, for us, it's so important to do self-introspection and utilize whatever we have, our energy, time, and whatever other little possessions and everything in service of Krishna. Everything as an offering, you know, a loving offering to Krishna. You know, that's what will help us to progress and advance in Krishna consciousness. Now here Prabhupada is speaking about sexual desire. This is a very crucial thing, and again, you know, for sadhakas like us. So sex desire, you know, it's a great obstacle in the life of all the sadhus, all the aspiring sadhus. Very, very great obstacle. Both gross and subtle. Many of them will get succumbed to the gross ones, and the elevated souls, or the ones who are elevated, you know, from the platform of gross desires, you know, and come to a platform where only subtle desires remain, so they will succumb to the subtle sex desire, that is Pujala Pratishtha. And Raghunath Das Goswami, in his book Manashiksha, you know, he writes this. This is the last thing, you know, that the person has to go through. Like even if we go categorize the anarthas, that those are there in the heart, so like lust. So suppose we talk about the gross lust. So this is the first thing, you know, that a sadhaka is expected to overcome. Then comes kama, then comes krodha. He has to overcome that. And then finally other things will come. And then comes mother, the pride, or the pujala pratishtha, the desire for it. So this will come at the end. So this sex desire is something which will pull the devotee out of devotional service. And for us, you know, out of Brahmacharya Ashram, so I was speaking to senior devotees when many of the Brahmacharis were leaving. I was speaking also to Harikshetra Prabhu and others. So everywhere, so many reasons they gave, and then finally conclusion was either it can be categorized as gross or subtle. They are sex desires only. Gross desire, subtle desire, where either the person wants, you know, something inside the ashram or outside the ashram. Both are not fulfilled. So out. Yes. So, you know, Maya Shakti is very, very strong. This is what I was meditating on. Very, very strong. In the case of Ajamil, if we take, Ajamil was such a learned person. He's such an obedient person when it comes to his father. There, when Ajamil goes to get the wood for the firewood, basically, for doing yagya. So there he saw the Shudrani, you know, embracing a Shudra. And when he saw that, the desire came. The desire, the lusty desires started popping out. Now, there, you know, a shloka or purport, I don't remember clearly. There it's very clearly written that Ajamil tried his best to analyze from Shastra and get the right conclusions, but he couldn't. But he couldn't, and he was succumbed to that particular desire, whatever he was seeing in front. So here, you know, we see that even when the person is very knowledgeable, still he can be easily pulled. Like even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even a knowledgeable person will be pulled, you know, by the uncontrolled mind or uncontrolled senses. So in this way, we understand that this desire, this lusty desire, or the desire for sense gratification that is there, that is very, very, you know, inherent now. It is there in our system. It is part of system, second nature. So it will be there, you know, till the last breath. Sorry, it will be there for a long time. We shouldn't say last breath because we have other goal. So last breath, we want to do something else. But for a long, long time, it will be there. There is no doubt about that. It will not leave. It will not leave us, you know, for a long time. So, Prabhupada writes, you know, it's very clear in Prabhupada's purports that when someone gets higher taste in Krishna consciousness, that person will be able to overcome the sense gratificatory desires. Higher taste. Now, higher taste which is there, Prabhupada clearly mentioned, like Sunday also I was telling, higher taste, he talks about the form of the Lord and the leelas of the Lord and so on. Now, when it comes to the sadhakas, getting attraction for this, I was just meditating on this because I like this point of attraction to the Lord's name, form, qualities. Obviously, attraction is not there, but the line is nice, attraction to the name, form, qualities. So this attraction that is there, how will that come for sadhakas? You know, it's so difficult. And it will come at a very high stage. Like Prabhuji, once he was mentioning that it will come in the bhava and prema stage, you know, where the attraction will be very, very strong. Or asakti stage, where the attraction will be very, very strong. And then it becomes, you know, more strong in the higher stages of bhakti. But one who is below anartha nivritti or in anartha nivritti, this attraction is very difficult. So there is one mandatory attraction that is needed. Very, very mandatory. Other attractions, okay, name, form, qualities may be difficult. But one mandatory attraction is attraction to the instructions of Sri Guru. This attraction is very, very important. If this attraction, this attraction is also not there, then it's very difficult for a sadhaka, you know, to progress. So this mandatory attraction, you know, for the instructions of Guru is what is needed. And we see that that's what we are trained for here, you know, in ISKCON. To execute the instructions, you know, those are given to us. Be it Prabhupada, be it, you know, the spiritual master. So this is what is given. And even if you're not able to execute, the meditation on that, you know, makes it you know, very, very fruitful. You know, when we start meditating, it will be very productive, maybe after some time, but at least, you know, some meditation. So this attraction for the instruction of spiritual master is very important. Like we say, shishya. The word shishya is nice to again analyze. So there's something called a shasan. Shasan means being under an authority, being under a shasan. And one who is under the shasan, he is called as a shishya. Or we'll take the English one also. Disciple and discipline. So one who is disciplined or under discipline, you know, he is a disciple. Right? So in this way, we understand that attraction to the instruction of spiritual master is very important. This at least the sadhaka, you know, should have. Be it natural attraction or forceful attraction, something should be there. That is very important. Now again, now why you know, it is so important, you know, to follow the instruction of spiritual master. Because his mind, which is there, you know, that doesn't like shasan. When I was thinking about this word shasan, I remembered one verse from, one stanza from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan, where he says, Gopinath, manaje pagala mora, namane shasana sada chetana, vishayere vishayero eche gora. So, Prabhupada, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, we can just see his bhajan so intense and so logical. Genius he is. He knows what sadhakas are going through and he has given all that, you know, in the, his bhajan. So here he is saying that manaje pagala mora. Now my mind is gone case, mad. Manaje pagala mora. Na mane shasana. It does not follow any instruction. It doesn't like any instruction. Na mane shasana sada achetana. Always jada buddhi. You know, always it's jada. The way we start, the points that I made in the start of the class. One thing it does very nicely. Vishayare. Vishayaro eche ghora. Where he's saying that it is very expert in pulling the person down to the deep sense gratificatory desires. Now here, you know, we understand that mind will not like, you know, to follow any instruction. Not possible. But then, this is what has to be done. Constant meditation on how can I follow the instruction of the spiritual master? How can I follow the instruction of Srila Prabhupada? Mind will say, nahi, nahi, abhi nahi karte, chodo. No, it's not that great. No, we'll not do it now. This is looking very nice. This is, some rasa is there here. There is no rasa here. But then rasa does not matter. What matters is what, you know, spiritual master is giving, you know, through his instruction. Because when we follow the instruction, then there is some hope, you know, to progress on the path of bhakti. Or else what is the hope? The mind will always pull us down for sense gratification. Always. Now, it's very clear from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan. Always it will pull us, you know, to the platform of sense gratification. Now what is needed is every single moment meditating on the instruction of the spiritual master. Every single moment. Yes, at least meditation. If not execution, at least meditation. And then finally, you know, it will be very easy, you know, to execute after some time when this intense desire is seen, you know, in us by Guru and Krishna. They will empower us and then it will be possible for us to execute the instruction. See, in Prabhupada's life also, he was just meditating throughout his life. All the time he was just meditating. And then if we remember that pastime where Prabhupada would go to Advaitacharya's place, Shantipur, and they would cry there thinking about this instruction. You know, if you remember that Pujari was also saying, I think in that book that we were reading, right? So Pujari was saying that this person was coming every single day and would cry here, you know, in front of Advaitacharya's bhavan. And you know, there we understand that how much Prabhupada was meditating on the instruction of the spiritual master. Last Sunday I was giving the Gita course session on Guru and Disciple. Now, it was feeling very nice to say that how Prabhupada is an ideal disciple and how he became an ideal guru. Yes. So in this way, the meditation on the instruction of the spiritual master which is there is very important, and that is what is the shelter, you know, for the disciple. And that is what is the hope, you know, for the disciple. Or else, you know, this strong desires for sense gratification will pull the devotee down in many, many ways. And Prabhupada is very clear in this purport, you know, at various places, that how people in general are just inclined towards fulfilling their sensual desires all the time. And at the end he writes, this is most prominently visible in the Western world. Now, Prabhupada was seeing that, and that's what, you know, Prabhupada has written also here. Okay, with this I would like to pause here. Any questions or comments? Yeah.
Meditating on the instruction of spiritual master is really amazing. One thing which I am trying to do is not just spiritual master, Prabhupada, all the other Vaishnavas. Previously I had the desire to memorize whole Bhagavad Gita. No, then I finished first chapter. Then after that, something was not, I was not feeling that happiness. So then I was just remembering, yeah, like I have given word to Krita Prabhu that you have to finish that book. So that is like, then I started writing down all the this ones. So like whichever devotee has given any instruction. So that's one meditation that is very nice, is that I just want to see that every activity that I do is of choice of some devotee, or is to please some devotee. It's not my stupid desire which is there in my head. So, and that's helping me a lot actually. So that's it's a very nice thing to, and still lot of portion of the life is still, it's there on my own stupid desire. So that has to be changed to like desire of spiritual master, desire of Vaishnavas. So then it will be like very nice.
Hare Krishna. So the point of meditating on the instructions of the spiritual master, it is something which is doable and which is practical. As a conditioned living entity, or in the course of any activity, when the goal is too lofty and too much in the clouds, then to take the first step in this journey becomes even very difficult. However, if somehow or the other someone feels that what I'm trying to do, there are some chances, or at least I can be engaged to some degree, rather than being fully in despair all the moment and having no clue how to proceed, then if somebody feels that there is a chance, then they make an attempt to do something. So this, at least in my case, this purification of heart and purification of the subtle body and all, these are some very lofty things. I'm a conditioned living entity who is simply spending time to convince myself that I'm not qualified for anything. I have to just put myself in a position where the mercy of Lord Chaitanya will fall upon me, and only then something is possible. So therefore, an idiot like me should not waste his time trying to do something lofty. Rather, simply try to meditate on the instructions of the Prakat Guru, my spiritual masters, which is very much doable, very much means I can meditate upon it and I cannot be depressed about it also all the time. So this gives me hope that simply by following the instructions of the spiritual masters, maybe I can also be gifted with Krishna consciousness someday. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So this point that Maya is very strong, that in the case of Ajamil, for one moment seeing, he has degraded himself. But in this age of Kali, everywhere it's just alluration, attractions only. So it's very, very difficult. And on the other side, as a full-time devotee, you mentioned that definition. As I'm doing service to the Lord every moment. So in one moment, a person can degrade himself. So on the opposite side, how cannot be done by engaging in the service every moment? And for that engaging in the service of the Lord, there should be attraction. And there is no attraction at all. So at least this mandatory attraction to the instructions of Guru, this will help. And even if not able to execute, at least on meditating, this is really a very hope-giving. That's Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I like the point where you mentioned that our job description is enthusiastic, loving, devotional service to Krishna. That is all that we should be thinking about. And the point that you mentioned, anything that we do for sense gratification is a sin. It is against the scriptures. So we should all meditate upon that point, that anything other than devotional service to Krishna is a sin. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I like the word, we struggle so much to do devotional service. So that is there, and I have to concentrate on this. And here, I have a question. We talk a lot about guru, spiritual master, everybody, that is right. But we ignore our parents. Parents are first guru. If I have any bhakti, it is because of my father and mother. And then only everybody. So, I don't know why there is no mention about parents in Vedas. So, that I would like to say is, parents play very important role in upbringing their children, their guru.
Yes, this is, you have only answered it rightly, that they are acting as spiritual master, natural spiritual master, and to the extent they are Krishna conscious, and to the extent that they have inspired us to surrender to Krishna, so to that extent we have to obviously respect. So that's a natural guru. They are the natural guru. So in that way, we see in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, Suniti, like Dhruva Maharaj, he was very much grateful, and he considered his mother as guru. And in fact, when he became perfected, so before him, his mother was taken back to Vaikuntha. So there's a lot of mention of parents is there in the Bhagavatam, actually. Parents and husband and wife. So husband becomes a natural guru to the wife, and the parents become the natural guru to the children. So it's all glorified under one topic as guru, like that. So parents means parents. All parents cannot be told as guru. Hiranyakashipu was there an example where he cannot be accepted and glorified. So that's why it is put under the category of guru and glorified. And whoever has not been like Hiranyakashipu, so they are automatically they fall under the category of guru. So generally parents they cannot mention. That's why it is like that.
Hare Krishna. So in today's lecture we heard so many devotees, they say they glorify the full-time devotees, saying that they are dedicated and all the day, every moment they are serving the Lord. But as you said, when we think internally, externally we look like a full-time devotee, but how much internally I'm really full-time devotee and serving the Lord and remembering the Lord and trying to do services to the Lord. So for me, it is very difficult in this modern age, and coming from a very degraded family background and having a lot of anarthas and no samskaras at all. So it's very difficult and to remember. Somehow when we are there with the devotees association, we are able to do it, and it's very important to have a devotee association. And and one more point which I liked is how much we are as a full-time devotee, we have to execute the instructions of a guru and please the guru. And if not, at least we should try to meditate all the time what instructions guru has given. So at least that minimal qualification means make us to get that qualification as a full-time devotee. And as we have seen yesterday, Sadhu Bhushan, ornaments of a Sadhu, the basic criteria is Krishna Eka Sharanam. So for full-time devotees, the basic thing is following the or meditating upon the instructions of the guru. So that's very important. Hare Krishna.
Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much.
Vijay, okay.